In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The history of God's work of salvation is really the story of a family. And it's a family that grew into a nation from which Christ was born, and then his family came to embrace all the world. We who are not part of that family are by grace made members of that family, and today all the members of that family celebrate the memory of the holy forefathers who lived before the coming of Christ. And one of the pivotal figures in this family history is the prophet Moses, who was in many ways a type of Christ. And what that means is a type is something that foreshadows something that is to come, which is called an antitype. It's a thing that answers to the type. The Israelites came to Egypt to escape a famine, and by God's providence, he had arranged that Joseph would be sold into slavery by his brothers through their envy into Egypt, but he would rise to be the second in the kingdom, only second to Pharaoh, and he would not only save his family from death, but also many nations that surrounded Egypt. However, many years later, we're told that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. God had told Abraham that his descendants would be slaves for 400 years. And as the end of that time drew near, both Pharaoh and the Israelites were in a state of expectation. According to Jewish tradition, God had promised Moses' father, Amram, that his son would be the deliverer of his people. And according to Jewish tradition, Pharaoh's magicians, Jannes and Jambres, warned the Pharaoh of this prophecy, and they were made aware of this by the power of the devil, but God's providence allowed this to happen. So Pharaoh, like Herod, decided to prevent the coming of the deliverer by mass murder. He ordered that every child born that was a male was to be thrown into the river Nile, and he ordered the midwives to do this. And in the English translations, usually we're told that these were Hebrew midwives, but in the Septuagint and other versions, it actually says that these were midwives of the Hebrews. In other words, that they were midwives that were serving the Hebrews. So these were Egyptian women, but we're told nevertheless that they feared God and they refused to do it. If they had been Hebrews, you could easily understand why Pharaoh should have not had any confidence that they would have been killing Israelite boys, but these Egyptian midwives refused to do it. So Pharaoh sent soldiers to go looking to try to find any babies that were born male and to murder them. And then we come to the story of the birth of Moses, which has a lot of parallels with the birth of Christ. We're told in chapter 2 of Exodus, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the reeds by the riverbank." God didn't make Pharaoh a murderer against his will. That's one thing about free will that we need to understand. Pharaoh was already an evil man, and he had it in his heart to murder these infants, but God allowed him the free will to make that choice. But as God always does, he took the evil that men do, and he turned it to accomplish his own good purposes. If you can imagine what it would have been like to have been Moses' parents, and to be driven to the point of desperation where the only thing you could do was to put your child in a basket and float it down the river. That was their only choice. They hid that child as long as they could. But it became apparent that they were not going to be able to hide that child any longer. And so they complied with the letter of the law. They put the child in the river, but they put the child in a basket that floated, and they entrusted this child to God. Here we have both pagan Egyptians and also Israelites that had respect for life. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that has no respect for life, and this is something that we need to fully appreciate as Orthodox Christians, the sacredness of life and how horrible it is to kill an innocent child. Then we're told, "And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to fetch it, and had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." How did she know that it was one of the Hebrews' children? Well, she might have been able to guess that by the fact that this child was in a basket, but the fathers tell us probably she recognized that he was circumcised, and that was the reason why she knew that this was a Hebrew. But God, in his providence, arranged to have Pharaoh's daughter here at this time. Jewish tradition tells us that this was a very hot day, and that she went down to a river at a time when she normally would not have gone down there because she wanted to get some relief from the heat, and that she had been unable to have children of her own. And so God moved her to compassion on this child, and she decided to take this child and to raise it as her own child. And the fathers tell us that she represents the church of the Gentiles that would come later to embrace Christ. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." That's what the name Moses means, taken from the water. Moses' sister was Miriam. And the name Miriam, if you don't know, is actually the Hebrew form of the name in English we call Mary. That's an anglicized form of it, but it's the very same name. And like the Mother of God who watches the church and intercedes for the church, Moses' sister was watching over this ark, and she interceded for him. And God in his providence arranged that by Pharaoh's plot to kill the child that would deliver the Israelites from slavery, he actually would set into motion events that would result in him raising the deliverer in his own house and nourishing him with the food from his own table and educating this child in all the learning of the Egyptians. And not only was his mother spared the death of her child, but she was paid wages to nurse him. She had placed the baby in the river in the darkness and with great sorrow, and she now received back this child before all the world in splendor and was given gifts to do the very thing that she, in her deepest longings, wanted to do for free. When we have done everything that we can do, we have to put our faith in God and trust Him for the things that we don't have any control over. The evil people of this world think they have it all figured out. They have their plots, and they intend to entrap us. They intend to box us in, to leave us with no choice, and destroy us because they hate God. But the very traps that they set for us will come down upon their own head, we're told in scriptures. And God will deliver us beyond all our expectations. We just have to have faith. We don't have to see how God's going to do it. We just have to know that He will. As we hear in Psalm 2, "Why have the heathen raged and the peoples meditated empty things? The kings of the earth were aroused and the rulers were assembled together against the Lord and against His Christ. Let us break their bonds asunder and let us cast away the yoke from us. He that dwelleth in the heavens shall laugh them to scorn, and the Lord shall deride them. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and in His anger shall He trouble them. But as for me, I was established as king by Him upon Zion, His holy mountain, proclaiming the commandments of the Lord. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt herd them with a rod of iron, thou shalt shatter them like a potter's vessel. And now, O ye kings, understand, be instructed, all ye that judge the earth. Serve ye the Lord with fear, and rejoice in Him with trembling. Lay hold of instruction, lest at any time the Lord be angry and ye perish from the righteous way, when quickly His wrath be kindled. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Amen.